Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sleva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sleva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sleva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about if you should take the deal. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up and we've addressed those issues in the course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy to follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you've got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the training tab and book a call with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We'll tell you all about our journey. We'll tell you about the course, and then we'll answer any questions you have. The whole thing should take about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's it. There won't be any pushy sales tactics, and at the end of the call, if it's a good fit, great. We'd love to help you get started and see you reach your goals.
You know, education is the key to success in this.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and you never stop that education also either, right?
No, you're always growing and learning from that.
Always be learning. Episode something or another with the Casual Fridays.
So should you take the deal? I think that's a valid question. As you start moving up and, you know, you start moving up in product type and value and margin, can you be too greedy? Can you say, oh man, I shouldn't have done this, or I should have taken this deal, or sit there, the bird in the hand and two in the bush mentality? And I've had some ones in the last couple of weeks that have just kind of made me go, maybe I should have taken it. Because normally I'm a big proponent of make a profit and move on.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because when you were telling me about it earlier, it definitely sounded greedy.
Yeah, I know.
With the whole deal that this idea came from.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to share it and so everyone else can feel the same way that I do?
Yeah, so we had a couple deals that came through Plum. And one of them in particular is in Idaho. And we put it on the market. Comps were showing like 180, 200,000. We put it on the market for 140. First day on the market, we don't have the actual photos of the place yet. We don't have the drone video in place yet. And we get an offer of, I think it was like 95. Countered back and said, no, we want 120 and we'll look at the deal. Guy comes back, says, best I can do is 110. We have 62,000 in it. So I have a partner in it. And he has I have the manager that's managing it, and then I have a money partner in it as well. We split.
Wait, so there's three people?
Well, it's a 50, 25,
25. Okay. So split 48,000?
Let's just say it like that. Yes, that's right.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear here.
Yeah. So that's right. And so knowing that we were underpriced for the comps and being on the market less than a day, we didn't take it.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
So we're 2.5 weeks later. We just got our drone video back. We got our photos back. We've had some interest still, but hadn't had another offer yet. And two more came up on the market that are about comparable price. Mm-hmm.
And so how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel like we should have taken the deal. Mm. And I'm a huge proponent of taking the deal and moving on. Like, just take the velocity of money. I truly believe in that concept. And in my head, I'm like, should we take it? Should we not? Should we do it? Should we go? Could it keep moving? Do we make more money? And I just wasn't happy with, you know, putting my half, I think was $31,000, putting 31 grand up to make, I think, essentially 12 grand. I was like, no, there's more money here. But in my head, I'm like, well, I didn't fully realize how much I was costing myself. Because even if we would have got the 120, I would have made 2,500 more bucks.
Oh, yeah. Instead of the ten extra $1,000, yeah. Right? Yeah, you sounds like you caught yourself something.
I did, and that's the glory, the cool thing about this business. You get humbled sometimes. you learn something, and you know they're not all home runs. I mean, would this been a bad deal?
No,
I mean, it's still something to say. Oh yeah, we did what was right.
Yeah, what is 12 grand on 31,000 profit wise? 30% profit?
A little bit more. I'm not helping myself. Not helping myself at all.
Yeah. I've always been about the take the offer and run.
Yeah.
And so anytime someone makes a cash offer to me, if I can, if I'm making money, I look at it pretty serious.
Yeah. And I normally do. And I had another one in a, in another area that we bought, and we had first like 10 minutes on the market, we had a full price offer of 40 something thousand bucks. I think we have 17 in this property. They fell through, had two follow-up offers at 40 grand. They fell through, had a couple more, had to offer a cash offer of 25 grand. I'm like, that's worth more than that.
So you didn't take that one either.
No. So that's what I said. I had two deals in the last week that I went against my normal philosophy of thought process and didn't do the deal like I should have done.
I mean, I can kind of see on that 17,000 because 17, in it at 17, sell it at 25, and then you got to split that.
Yeah, that's a partner deal.
I mean, I can see not wanting to do that deal.
Yeah.
But then, so let's say you get back, you put 17 in, and now you got 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got other deals you've already approved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, I think we're starting to see a pattern here.
I think I got in my own way. I broke my normal philosophy and got in the way of myself.
I mean, it happens. It's okay as long as you talk about it.
Yeah.
And you move forward.
This is like my therapy session this week.
I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough call. On that one, I probably would have maybe had some of the same thoughts you're having.
Yeah.
But I think this other deal, the first deal we talked about.
Yeah, that was on me.
What happened to the two partners, though? I mean, the other two people or other people that were involved with that one, what were their thoughts?
The manager who doesn't have any money in it, he's like, pshaw, because he's making 50% of that. So, I mean, you know, he makes 20 grand and didn't really have much work in. I mean, he found the deal and he put the stuff up, but it's like, it's just money in a bank for him.
Mm-hmm.
The other partner on that one was like, no, we need to get 120.
Oh, really?
And so he wanted to wait out. But, you know, at the same time, he likes his money to be out working.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it does go back to work.
If you got deals in the pipeline,
yeah.
His pipeline's not as full as mine, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a tough one because I've definitely felt that before, you know. I felt it even on, I feel it mostly because a lot of my cash deals aren't in that price range.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at, like, I've had property that I paid $1,500 for that I was listed for $500 or $600 and people make a $3,000 offer.
Yeah.
Right. And I always go back to that. Well, that is double my money.
Yeah.
You know, double it and move on. Or should I try and get a little more? Or should I just try and make it work? And then.
Yeah. That's counterintuitive for me. Like in that $1,500, I paid $1,500 for it. Have it listed for $500. They offer me $3,000. Those deals, I don't really get too emotional about. I'm like, yeah, forget it. Sell it.
Yeah.
Somebody offers me $500 more than I paid for it. And that's another investor. I'm like, yeah, sure. Take it. You know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why when talking bigger numbers, why I did that. Like, I'm like, oh, this person's just trying to get over me. Oh, nope, they're not getting this deal. It's on me, you know?
Yeah, and for someone to spend $110,000 on land, I mean, I've never sold a property over six figures, so I don't know how easy or hard it is. Sometimes it seems like people just show up instantly with cash. It's like that buddy of yours that made 250 grand within an hour on the market, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think my biggest cash sale has been in right under 20,000.
Yeah, my biggest one has been 135 cash.
So my terms are way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But for cash sales, so I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong person to be asking here. But it seems like in your first one, that first deal should have sold.
Yeah, probably should have. And the second one, I'm on the fence on that one. I mean, I think after that one, do the splits and everything. Your 17 grand that went out, you make, I don't know, 6 grand after closing costs.
On the second one?
Yeah.
6 grand between two people?
No, the 6 grand would have came back to my part.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
That way I look at that, that's a month and a half worth of bills.
Yeah, so what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm sitting here looking at property still. No, that's the fun thing about this business. There's no right or wrong answer, and I don't want people to think that they have to always take the deal they get an offer on. But we probably should be pretty cognizant that, you know, hey, if you're making a 80 or a 60% return in day one, probably should think about it.
Yeah. It's kind of when you look at houses, I just thought back when I was a realtor. The common thing is when your home has been on the market the first day, you never accept anything less than full asking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that translates to land.
Yeah. We did that on a couple of houses. We turned down some offers and they were low. we ended up getting more than those offers, but we had one of the houses was on the market for like two more months or three more months before it actually sold. But the carry cost actually negated what the offers were. Like, we got an offer day one. It was like, the guy didn't even come look at the house. He's like, 185. We ended up selling the house for 190, but we held it for two and a half more months, three more months. So by holding it that time, we only made $700-800 more.
Did you try to negotiate with that guy? Do you think he would have come up?
Yeah, we recounted. We told him 192, he could have it, and he's like, nah.
Was he an investor?
No, I think it was a guy that was local that was looking for a house. I think he had a VA loan. He was just like throwing offers out there, see what he could get a deal on. Mm. Or he might have been a guy just looking at Zillow and was like, well, Zillow says.
Yeah, Zillow, that's always the trap.
Yep.
You can never trust those numbers.
We ran a bunch of stats against comps, and Zillow was within like a percentage of what we would comp it at on some of these houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe they've gotten better. I remember when I was a realtor, like people would always like, well, Zillow says my house is it. I'm like, don't look at that.
My Zestimate.
Yeah, the Zestimate. What a waste.
Yeah. You're bitter. I can still see some bitterness from your real estate days.
You know, that's, I don't know. I do feel that. And that's funny because I just had a realtor reach out about one of the offers I sent a friend of hers or something, you know. And we talked about this on Friday night when I got the message from the realtor, who's not even listing the person's property. Mm-hmm. She was just calling as a professional real estate person, mm-hmm. right? She's like, I have questions that need to be answered before my client can accept your offer. And she might have just been in real life. She might have just been like, hey, you know what? I have some questions that I need to
You see how you change an emphasis on voice? When you first read it, you're like, your finger.
She might have been friendly. But that's not because in my opinion, like realtors just want to get in the way. And she only wants to get, she wants to figure out, she's calling because she wants to find out how she can get paid on this.
Yeah.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I have some questions that I need to get answered. And that question is going to be, where does my commission come in on this?
Yeah. Are you paying for the buying agent?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. I don't even know where I was going with that. You just got me wound up.
You just wanted to hate on realtors for a little bit.
Yeah. And sometimes I even think too about like going back and getting, my real estate license back. I'm just starting like a land brokerage on the side. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, man, how can I?
I don't like them.
Yeah. But it's okay. I mean, I do think they serve their purpose. I just don't think that when they call back on my offers that I didn't even send them and they're not even representing that property for sale. They're wasting.
Well, I would have bought their property, but now that you're involved, I'm not buying it now. Just out of principle.
That definitely crossed my mind.
You probably typed that out and then deleted it, didn't you?
I didn't, but trust me, it was there.
So now that we've Wednesday, that's normally life, land, and talk, we beat up Justin for a little bit for making bad decisions on the velocity of money.
I don't think we beat. I think you were able to do it yourself.
I think beat myself up, you know, like, what's that? Was that Jim Carrey and like he's like punching himself in the face?
Yeah, what movie was that?
Is it The Mask?
Or was that Liar Liar?
Liar Liar, it could have been Liar Liar. Yeah,
I don't know. That guy, he's gone off the wall. So let's throw in some life, land, and liberty today.
Okay, so what does this week look for you? What does Adam have on coming into the rest of the week into the month?
Yeah, I'm closing. I'm doing due diligence and closing properties.
Okay.
Yeah, we're like I said before, this last mailer was almost 2,600 offers, two counties. Mm-hmm. I said on Monday, one of the counties came back in flood zone, but we're still getting some good offers back.
Okay.
The other county was a county that I know has worked.
Okay.
And I thought I would be getting back a whole lot more offers. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, it's just been no after no after no. I mean, you know, letters written back with you know what written all over it. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised by that one because I didn't think that my pricing was off. And in fact, I feel really confident pricing any county now, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really surprised on that one. But
yeah,
that's what's going on with me.
Cool. We got a bunch of properties in escrow right now. That's got unreal amount. I think I just hit over 2,000 acres in ownership or management.
Nice.
Varied size, varied states, which is fun. It's a little scary.
Is it?
Yeah, a little scary. We've got a couple cool deals that look good. We got our drone pictures back on our Kentucky property, lakefront property. It has two cabins on it there.
I saw that. I wasn't sure if that was the neighbors or if that was
No, those were ours. Now those are the real pictures of the cabin.
You didn't raise the price though, it didn't look like.
Yeah, we think we're priced right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kentucky. There's a car back there. We don't know how they got there. One of the places is actually a trailer that they put up on a foundation.
Yeah, well, yeah, that reminds me. I looked. There looks like an easement. Is that not real?
It's power line. So we think that the people were driving down the power line easement to get back there. Mm. So this place needs a little bit of cleanup. Like, we could probably hire a handyman to go out there for a week and clean up all the brush and mow it down and maybe fix some stuff and just make a trash pile, and it probably would bring a little bit more money, but that's not in the business we're in.
Yeah. I mean, if it's only going to bring back a little bit more, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
When I first got started, and I was thinking about doing the bigger land, because some of my first good deals were bigger land. I'm thinking, I should probably get out there and clean it up. Or, you can't own a land business without owning a Bobcat. I need to get a Bobcat.
I'm going to get me a John Deere.
Yeah. Now I think, man, what a waste of time that would be.
I don't know. Like, I'm toying with the idea of that right now. I've ran through some numbers in some states, and I'm thinking about mailing some sections here next week and splitting them up, doing a little subdivide. I think that's an interesting topic for a lot of people. We had a speaker on at our live event, and, my wheels have been turning. I'm trying to see where I'm at money-wise to see, okay, hey, how many of these can I hold? Is it something that I want to syndicate? Is it something I want to put some other people's money to work on? Do I pick up two or three sections and then subdivide them down into like 120s, 160s, maybe 40s, and then sell them?
Yeah. No, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you get to that, you buy a section, well, then you need to clean it up. You need to do certain things.
I mean, I think just throw a road right down the middle, like a dirt trail down the middle, make that the easement and cut everything off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but you still got to cut it down. I mean, and in that case, you got to go buy a Bobcat, and then you're probably going to need an F-250, maybe a trailer.
You just want me to buy this F-250. You just want to borrow my big truck.
Yeah, I actually just want my own F-250, but I don't really have a
need yet.
Nah.
So let's buy a section together and split, subdivide it.
I don't know if I'd ever have a need for it. And in fact, if I put it in my house right now, it would be like, that guy spent more on his truck
than his house. Whatever.
Nah, that would be true. But none of my neighbors have a brand new F-250, so it wouldn't.
You live in a bed of lies right now. I passed like 13 of them driving down your street. I can think of one long bed, one four-wheel drive, yeah. Platinum edition on the way down on the left-hand side.
That must have been a neighbor's. I mean, a guest of the neighbor.
No, it's one of the kids you grew up with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's got a white pod in front of their driveway because they're getting ready to move.
Oh, yeah.
So there is some big trucks in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay, well, next topic. How about we talk about likes and follows? How about that?
Okay.
Let's go to Facebook. Let's do likes and follows. How about Instagram? Like and follow us. And then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And then that's it. Have a good Wednesday. And we'll see you on Friday.
Yep. See you.